Mission from around the nation.
Yes. And by the way, congratulations are in order to him because he just got remarried.
Harsh. Yes. Really? Oh.
He posted it on his Facebook.
Oh, that is so sweet. I guess what I need to do in 22 is carve more time into my life to have time for social media. Because I don't have 1 second to know what anybody's doing besides myself. Y'all thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? I don't have time. Now, let me ask you, master class of social media, when is your best time?
There isn't.
I mean, is it at night after work?
I really don't look at it.
Unless I need to crack this whip up here harder. Because I don't like, how do you do this? Tell me, I want to know.
Weekends, I guess.
Okay. Because I just don't. And one thing, I just, you know, to me, it eats up a lot of time. Mm-hmm. You know, you look up, and 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour is gone, mm-hmm. and you can't get it back. And you don't know what you did. Mm-hmm. All you know is you read a bunch of stuff.
You know what you did.
Right, I read other people's stuff.
Yeah. And that's what I don't have time for. I don't have time to really look at a whole bunch of...
It's been through. Yeah. Because my sister said something to me about that. Well, you need to get back up on Facebook. I said, girl, look. At that face, you know. Because... She is retired.
Oh, okay. That makes a difference.
Thank you. And, you know, just, you know, her and her husband just kind of do stuff whenever they want. But I, on the other hand, am not like that. I can't walk. She forgets. Well, you know, if you would read your social media, you and I said, look, that's why I have you. Because you read it, then you tell me what's going on with the family. She's always getting on me, but I had to explain to her and a lot of the members of my family that the work I do is very consuming. Mm-hmm. We are in, and I'm going to speak for Sharon Kay, I am in a bubble of information all day long. Mm-hmm. Every crisis, every emergency, I mean literally. So I have to tell her. And I told her, this is the second or third time I had to remind her, that I read about death and mayhem all day long. Facebook has become a rolling obituary.
Yeah.
It just has. I'm like, girl, I got to unplug, okay? It's just everybody and everything. And then the people who are constantly forever, you know, just...
The only thing worse than that are the people who post pictures of themselves when they're in the hospital.
I can't. I just can't. Yeah, you mean the current status?
Yeah. Pictures? I'm like...
I can't.
Why?
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Why would you
are they still doing that?
Some people are. I don't get that part. I'm like, get well.
Some stuff is TMI, okay? Entirely too much information. And I mean, if I'm not well, it's not for y'all to do anything or worry about. You worry about you. I got me. Me and the Savior, we got each other. So I just feel like it's some more intrusive, you know. And I know people like generationally have been fed that. But everything, you know, doesn't need to be out in the light of day.
Yeah.
You know,
unfiltered.
Every now and then. Well, see, now you're making me tell me about the congressman. You're making me have to call him up and say, you better let know. Tell me more. He's not, but I'm just saying, I'm so happy that he is happy. And you know how many years I've been interviewing that man?
How many?
Close to 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long has he been in Congress?
Close to 30.
Wow.
That's he was there. And he was probably running for office or something. But yeah, a long way.
Yeah.
Long way. So he knew me way before I came here, when I was at the other stations and did news. So, and just, I'm really going to miss that. Really going to miss it.
Yeah, especially when I was taking his place.
Oh, Lord. Anyway. I said, you know, may depress me thinking about the fact that this county is about to be sliced into thirds.
Maybe. There might be a judge out there who might say that's not right.
You feeling optimistic this afternoon?
Have to be. There just might be a judge on a bench who says, you know what, y'all can't do that. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Awful lot of judges running for office now, isn't it?
Vote wisely.
Yep. Anyway, speaking of that, you've seen an increase in signs, haven't you?
I sure have.
They are just literally everywhere. So there's so many. And because April 4th is the registration deadline. Early voting is April 13th.
Okay.
Are y'all registered is the question. Please be registered. And don't let anybody frighten you from your right to vote. You know, I don't care. You know, I'm going to be there. I have to start walking now. Get there on April 13th. You can bet I'm going to be there. And the early voting ends on April the 28th. So, do make sure that you handle that business in time to be able to be in the county primary election here. For 2022. Now, today is 16th. Here we are rolling almost halfway through March. All the March babies are having birthdays and enjoying themselves and stuff. And our student is back for another fun-filled week.
Yes.
And he's so quiet. Makai is so quiet.
Yeah.
We need to plug in some headphones in sometime.
Yeah. Because
he's missing all this. He doesn't know we're talking right about him.
He hears some of it.
Okay, because I'm pointing my finger at you right now. And that's my southern accent right now. Yes, we're talking directly about you. Oh, can he hear me on the social media thing when I was asking the question? When I was talking about social media? Did he hear what I said?
He didn't hear it.
Okay, repeat it to him.
Well, I'll turn off my mic and then you can repeat it so he can hear.
Okay, because I want his response. Because I know we left the room for 5 minutes and then he's up on his social media. So, you know, I want to get a play-by-play. Move over close to the mic. Actually, I'm out of two in. Okay, Makai. Say yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, lean in a little bit. Well, I like the yes, ma'am part. That's worth coming to work for. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm well. You didn't, Miss Kane never told you she was going to bring you in, did she?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Surprise. You came back again this week. I'm like, you in trouble, brother. Anyway, you are a member of the Fisk men's basketball team?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That would be our first time having an intern from the basketball team. And what year are you here on the campus?
I'm technically a senior. on the basketball court. I am a sophomore, though.
Okay. Technically a senior.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you going to graduate?
Yes, ma'am.
So technically, you're going to be gone soon.
I plan on coming back and getting another degree, so you'll have
more. Oh, I will. Yeah. Okay, because you're so quiet and pleasant. And what is your degree in?
Right now, my degree is in English, and I plan on coming back to get an educational or a journalism degree.
Do you now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Remember this day. It lives in infamy. My first experience, she threw me on the radio. An afternoon drive, Nashville. Where you from?
I'm from Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, you from the... Wait a minute, Jackson State, right?
Yes, ma'am. I stay... I used to live actually a few minutes, like a few blocks from Jackson State.
Okay. And that school is a big deal down there, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Why did you pick us and not them?
Well, first of all, my brother came to Fisk, so he had a lot of influence on me while he was in college and I was in high school. And, you know, it's a historic culture here.
Yes.
And I just wanted to be a part of that.
Well, bless your heart. What's your brother's name?
His name is Malik Yant.
Malik. When did he graduate?
Yeah, he graduated in 2018.
Well, we want to give him a definite shout-out because he brought you in. That is wonderful. That's how we do it, y'all. So what's been your experience so far, just to let people know?
At Fisk?
Yes, sir.
It's been a good experience.
Fisk, this is known as good PR, okay? And there's nobody in this. Go ahead.
Well, as far as college students, it's what you make it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a positive outlook on what you're going through or you won't make it through anything. So I say stay positive and good things will happen to you. Good, stay optimistic and you will see, like, things through a better lens. For me, Fisk has been a good experience. I've been able to play the sport I love. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have wanted me to succeed and help me succeed in the classroom and in the career field as well, too.
Okay. And how long have you been an intern at WFSK?
This is currently my second week.
Okay. And so far?
It's really good. It's really insightful and helpful.
Thank you. Okay, because we like to do a well-rounded approach. Because that's what broadcasting is. You got to chop, chop, chop all the time. Chop, 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 chop. At least in my realm, it's chop, 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 chop. And we're just happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
Are you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So during the Wednesdays, you've been watching Mr. Lawson on the board and everything.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
good. Trying to, keep up with him.
Okay. Yeah. Look at it, grinning. He's trying to act like I ain't hear that. Yes, you did. He was trying to keep up with you. Anyway, our guest is here. So thank you. Oh, social media question, right quick.
All right.
Then we're going to go to break. I know you all were raised on it, and you love it, and you're forced into it all the time. Are there times you just get tired of it?
It's definitely a time where I feel the need to detox and, you know, step away from it. You know, I try to keep my phone on do not disturb, so I go to social media on my own time, so it's not constantly, you know, ringing or buzzing in my pocket. It is a good tool, I feel like, in the career field and pushing yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do feel that, it's life. We still need to connect with life, you know, the real life. So I feel like you should take a break from it every now and then.
Yeah, because I'm coming in contact with some real people.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, you just heard that. How old are you?
22.
Praise the Lord. Look at that. Y'all better testify out there. Oh, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. He can come in here anytime. You hear me? Well-mannered and all that. Anyway, Makai, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a nice
day. Oh, of course. Absolutely. Just really raised well, too, you know. If I ever meet your parents, I'm going to tell them. Because, see, I will file a report. Y'all don't know. Parents, I tell. I do. Miss K do. I tell. You know, I always like to tell them the good stuff. And they love hearing it, too. I got to tell you, after they done spent all that money, help these children get education. They want to hear the good stuff. And there's actually been some. And next time, we'll meet our other new student intern from TSU. So this is a different combination that we have. And we're just, you know, trying to do our part. That's it. Now, we're going to talk weather and... our guest is here, isn't she? I am very much looking forward to having that powerful woman in this studio with me. I hope my hair looks okay. It's radio, y'all. Anyway, I'm coming back with State Representative Karen Camper, who is the State Democratic Minority Leader. Let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the South Loop, the West Loop, as expected this time of the afternoon, sometimes it stacks up already. 65 at Rosa Parks up by Metro Center. This traffic report brought to you by PensacolaBeach.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from West Unlimited, presenting chart-topping award-winning vocalist and songwriter Lindsey Webster to open the all-new Sambuca Jazz Over Dinner series on March 22nd at 7 p.m. The jazzy, soulful sound of Lindsey Webster in one show only at Sambuca Nashville, 601 12th Avenue South in the Gulch. Tickets and details at sambuca.brushfire.com. The Lindsey Webster Concert is sponsored in part by Fast Signs Downtown Nashville.
I can go from 0 to 60 way too fast.
Who knew electric vehicle owners were having so much fun?
20 or 30 years ago, I owned a gas sports car, and this car is much quicker.
It's a great, fun car to drive. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it just goes.
They're fun, they're fast, they're efficient.
Visit driveelectrictn.org to learn how you can start having fun driving an electric vehicle.
Sponsored by the East Tennessee Clean Fuels Coalition, the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
A fraction of a raindrop, 3 grains of salt, but up to 100 times more potent than morphine. The tiniest amount of illegal fentanyl is all it takes to cause an overdose. Fentanyl can be mixed into heroin, cocaine, pressed pills, meth, and other drugs. It could be in your drugs, and you wouldn't be able to see it, taste it, or smell it. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Already in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And I am so happy to have, you know, have you noticed the pattern Sharon Kay has done in the last month of having various members of the state representatives that we hadn't had in the studio before, hadn't communicated with or interviewed. And you know, we have a great relationship with Representative Harold Love and, of course, Senator Gilmore. And historically, I've always had with so many of them there. But I had noticed that I wasn't getting traction with my Shelby County, because y'all have a lot of action going on in Shelby. I said, I got to keep up with what's going on. So I have watched the work of Representative Camper from a distance and seen her active and doing great things. And I was happy when she became the minority leader, Democratic minority leader. Are you the first woman to have that? Black woman?
Yes, I am.
Give her some mic. Well, that is awesome. I love it.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that was must have been exciting. Yeah, that's right. Oh, she gets her applause.
Thank you. To God be the glory.
Yes, yes. And because sometimes we have to tell people because they don't realize that things are not like this on a regular basis. And I know the members. Several members that I've had on. Well, I had Vincent Dixie on, and then I can't think of the
President other. Parkinson?
Yes, him. And they just love to remind me that, you know, you were the first black woman. So I'm like, you know, I love to hear that. I'm like, yes, those are victory points.
Thank you.
And especially at Women's History Month. So when did it happen and all that? Tell me more.
Well, you know, thank you for the opportunity to be here and talk to you on this very historic radio. And all the rich history FIS has brought to the state of Tennessee and nationally. Yeah. I'm glad to be here. But yeah, so I ran for re-election in 2018. And at that time, the gentleman that was serving as our minority leader, he retired to run for governor, Craig Fitzhugh, which meant it was a vacancy in that position. And I just happened to be at an event accepting award posthumously for the Honorable Speaker Pro Tem Lois Deberry.
Yes.
And when I was, it was a women's achievement event, and family had asked me to go and receive it on her behalf. And man, when I was standing there and I was reflecting on her and the things that she did and said and instilled in me.
Yeah.
I knew instinctively I had to run.
Yeah.
I had never thought about doing it.
Yeah.
But that spirit of Lois Deberry came over me.
Oh, yes.
And I knew I had to run.
Absolutely.
And so I decided to run and let, you know, my members know. And they were courageous enough to vote for me and put me in this position. So that would have been in November of 2018.
That is beautiful. And the way it should be, because she was Representative Deberry from all the years I covered news and I've interviewed her, but she didn't take no mess on it.
Oh, man.
I said, y'all just do not know how much she had to go through. And the early women in the Senate, well, actually, Thelma Harper and, of course, Senator Gilmore have had to go through, and then the state representatives themselves, just to be able to have a voice heard. And that was way back then, and we talking about now, it's the same way. It hasn't changed.
Yeah, a lot has, but a lot haven't in terms of African-American representation in this, not only in this state, but in this country. You know, right now, we're looking at the possibility of a black woman being appointed to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Out of its 233-year history.
Yes.
And so that's another first. And I'm just grateful to be alive to just see this. You know, so our grandparents and great-grands saw so much for us in the future and fought for it. They didn't live to see it, but they knew it was coming.
Right.
And I kind of feel that way about where I am now and the things Lois instilled in me and seeing what's happening.
Well, tell me about what she did, the strength that she had.
Lois?
Yeah, and what she instilled in you to give you the, like the leadership baton, I guess, right?
Yes, ma'am. When I first came into General Assembly, I knew who Lois Deberry was. But I did not know Lois Deberry. And she was one of the first people I met because they brought me in. I had to get sworn in. Mm-hmm. She took me over for the swearing in. And she decided, in my opinion, that she saw quality in me that she was willing to invest in. Mm-hmm. And she started just taking me around with her everywhere she'd go. She'd talk to me about the process. She, gave me the support I needed when I was standing up for things that, you know, may have been against the grain. Mm-hmm. That she would say, hey, you're a leader. You can do it. You know, get out there, you know. So she
so she was instilling this in you early then?
When I first got into General Assembly. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And she would look over at Nafy and say, I told you, she's her own woman. You know, because I was fighting for things and saying things, and people was looking at me like, did she just say that to the speaker? I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, well, she gave me the courage that I needed to be able to do that, and they understood where I was coming from. And it's just little things like that, little nuggets that she would drop on you. And then she was the type of person, too, that would usher you in to places. Mm-hmm. And people would accept you on her credibility.
Exactly.
But you still got to demonstrate when you're there. You still got to perform. You still have to do what you need to do.
Yes.
She's not going to carry you.
Mm-mm.
She'll open the door for
Mm-mm.
you. But you're going to have to work.
There you go.
And so those are the kind of things that she did for me early on, and just kind of up until, you know, her passing, she was just always a person there
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm. And she was able to get that kind of things done with the governors, too,
mm-hmm.
and other officials.
Yes.
And but you said a key word, and that was courage, because that is in short supply in certain circles. And that is still what you carry with you every day at the legislature, I'm sure.
It is. And, you know, speaking of the representative, another person that was kind of that same thing for me, too, may have been not as often, mm-hmm. but whenever the opportunity presented itself, she mm-hmm. was there for me, too. And that was Senator Harper.
Absolutely.
You know, we are part of some national organizations together. Mm-hmm. She's highly respected in these mm-hmm. areas. I mean, you know, everybody knows her globally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she'll pull you to the side. Sit down, young lady. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about
she
this.
What did she do with y'all? You know that.
Let me tell you this, you know. So, but she wanted the best for you.
Yes.
You know, she had charted a course for us with her history.
Mm-hmm.
And, I sitting here thinking about both of them, I'm slick getting emotional right now because I'm reflecting now on after she passed. She was the first woman to lay in state
mm-hmm.
in the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. That was huge.
That was huge. That was
it amazing. Really was. Unbelievable, yeah.
Unbelievable. And on that day, it was May 5th, I had been asked to do the prayer in the House chamber
mm-hmm.
that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so happened that exact same day
mm-hmm.
was Lois DeBerry's birthday.
Lord.
So God saw fit to have me doing the prayer on that day. And the night before had been just very tense and it was heavy because
mm-hmm.
we had just got through fighting this CRT
mm-hmm.
and that whole thing around critical race theory. I'm not gonna get into that, but I mean it was just the night before was very hairy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it was just a lot that went on. So the next morning here I am. God got me before these people, and I literally had to invoke their spirit that day to settle everybody down.
Oh, yeah.
So I know people was wondering, oh, Lord, what is she going to say
exactly.
after that night before?
Right.
But God has a way.
Yes, he does.
Of leading you
to
where you need to be. So he had both these women in my life present that day.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. Now, both of them were very, very inspiring to me, very supportive of me, poured a lot into me, a lot of golden nuggets that they gave me.
Oh, yeah. And strong.
Strong.
Have mercy. But they could but be loving at the same time, which is so, you know, that's a art to that.
It is. It reminds us of our grandmothers, right?
You know, when Senator Harper, one of them used to get on my case about something I was doing, or don't be saying that on that radio show, hey, and, you know, pull me to the side and everything, they do it real nice. And, you know, they would never really freak out or go off on me. They say, now, Sharon Kay, here's what you need to think about on the other side of what you. So I got it. And it was, you know, having the privilege during that time of so many, you know, Joanne Favors, another one. I'm thinking, Lord, she's short, and she's from Memphis.
Representative Cooper.
Cooper, yes. I mean, all those ladies being around
her
there.
Her and Representative Tommy Brown.
Yes. I mean, see, we calling out some names, y'all. This could be Black History Month and Women's History Month.
It is.
But the ladies need to know that there have been prior women in politics and in the state house and in this state that have fought and done good things to help the citizens. And, you know, when they tell the stories about or revise the history of Tennessee, don't leave us out of it.
Absolutely.
Please don't, because the truth has got to get told. Now, Representative Camper, I know Leader Camper, I just like saying that. You know, I just...
Thank you.
I love it. You have passed a bill. What, is it today or yesterday?
It was yesterday. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what happened?
Well, you know, let me just go back a couple years ago in 2019.
Okay.
I passed a bill honoring this another terrific woman, another woman we all know. We now have a state holiday named after her, and that is Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
So we passed the Rosa Parks Day legislation and made December 5th Rosa Parks Day. Fast forward to today, yesterday, another woman we wanted to honor was Ida B. Wells.
Mm-hmm.
And her legacy, you know, fighting at the time, a young woman fighting for what she believed in, and not, you know, giving up on what she believed in, fought for this country, fought for this state, fought against anti-lynch. I mean, she did so much. So we had a bill to come out yesterday honoring her by setting July the 16th as Ida B. Wells Day in the state of Tennessee. Yes, ma'am. I got one more committee to go out of, and then it'll be on the floor.
Well, don't you all have like a memorial or something in Memphis?
We do.
Okay.
Yes, it was unveiled this year. The Ida B. Wells Plaza. It's down on Bill Street, right, not too far from FedEx Forum.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Is it?
Yes, and it's on the Civil Rights Trail from Memphis, and it's a beautiful statue of her, and it talks about her. The things she done, obviously, with the newspaper and the anti-lynch, but also the business side of her, you know? So it encompasses all of the things that she stood for.
Yeah. Now, this is for, I guess, in a couple of months is a big deal. You guys have Memphis in May coming, don't you?
We do.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And, you know, we kind of have had it, but, you know, with COVID, everything is a little bit different. But this will be, we'll be kind of back in full swing, so to speak, where people are actually coming out to the concerts and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Good food, places to go.
But in April now, you know, we always have African April. So that'll be coming up. That's a big to-do. It's at Robert Church Park, which is, you know, somebody we don't talk enough about, who has a rich history in Memphis, who was the millionaire black man that saved Memphis's charter years ago when we were so in debt after the yellow fever. And he had to, you know, put up the money to save Memphis's charter.
Wow.
So there's a park there named after him.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I hope that, you know, people will take part in some of those activities that you have there. Because I know the country people come here. But, you know, our community can go there and, you know, do our thing there and have a good time. Now, a couple things I want to get your thoughts on. What do you see in the coming months, besides some of the education stuff, and some of the issues that you try to keep the focus with the party and make sure that everybody gets the significance of what's going on?
Mostly thinking about families and the things that can help stabilize and fortify our families. Now, that could be careers, that could be small businesses, access to capital, that could be teaching our young people about investing, something that we don't think a lot about but should think a lot about for their future. And it could be small things, but when they learn about it, it becomes a habit, so it can change their life. Education obviously is always a big element, but we've got to keep thinking about how do we strengthen our families so that the parents can be the best parents they could be.
Well, do you, with what's going on, like a lot of things, do you think that the state is doing a decent job? Is it falling short, particularly when it comes to, like, the education bill that the governor has proposed?
Well, the thing with that is the funding formula we have right now with Senator Yarbrough and I, he's the leader in the Senate. Mm-hmm. We filed a bill last year to take a where we were planning on taking a hard look at our funding, because every year since I've been here, it's been this thing about, it's a complicated funding, but we fully funded the BEP. And every year we said the BEP was not fully funded. So there's a disconnect somewhere, because you still have schools that don't have the resources that they need for the children to get after school care, to get tutoring and all of these things, to pay our teachers. So we wanted to take a deep dive look at the funding formula. Subsequent to that, the governor decided that he obviously was going to take a look too. He appointed about 18 task force to go across the state, hear from people, hear from districts. And so as a result of that, he has this new formula, which is the Tennessee
something something.
Yeah, I heard the music, so I didn't know what I was supposed to wait.
TISA?
Yes.
TISA plan?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Tennessee Investment in Student Achievement.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And also, remind the audience, if you have a question or comment, you know to call 615-329-8810, something on your mind. You might want to get a point of clarity from Democratic Minority Leader Karen Camper. We're happy to hear from you. 615-329-8810. Commander Chuck is standing by. He'll give us his updated traffic report to get you home safely, because you know we don't play. So let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the South Loop, the West Loop, as expected this time of the afternoon, sometimes it stacks up already. 65 at Rosa Parks up by Metro Center. This traffic report brought to you by PensacolaBeach.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from City Winery, marching towards spring, featuring four shows with the contemporary jazz music fans in mind. On Friday, March 18th, famed vocalist-pianist Olita Adams at 8 p.m. On Monday, March 21st, it's the amazing Osnoy Trio, featuring Dennis Chambers and Jimmy Haslip. Coming up on Thursday evening, March 24th, one of Nashville's very own, the Rahsaan Barber Quartet album release show in the lounge. And let the great music continue to flow on Saturday, March 26th, as pianist producer Marcus Johnson is in the lounge at 7 p.m. For tickets and information, visit citywinery.com.
We're often influenced by what we see and hear online. Researchers say Black communities have been specifically targeted online by bad actors that post false information about cultural issues, attempting to increase divisions in Black communities, influence how we vote, and influence public opinions. Here's how to stop the spread of cultural disinformation. Get information from reliable sources like experts, researchers, or organizations. Make sure you're not misled by information or quotes shared out of context. Check the account. Was it recently created or has zero followers? It may be a troll bot. If a story seems suspicious, don't share it with your followers. Together, we can stay informed and empowered. This public service announcement is from the National Black Cultural Information Trust. Learn more at nvcit.org.
When I was in Iraq, our convoy was hit. It was bad. After I came home, I could still hear booms and see tracer fire. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
With help from DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Today, I'm part of DAV. We're veterans helping veterans to get the benefits they've earned. And I give my veterans my all.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Naomi Mathis, thank you for your service. And may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. It's brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411? And I'm happy to get an opportunity to hear from State Democratic Minority Leader Karen Camper. And we've been getting some information from her, her first time being on WFSK. Have you been to Fisk before, Representative Camper?
Yes, and visiting?
Yes.
Or, yes, ma'am.
Campus?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. First time here at the station.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's what's up.
First time at the station.
Yeah, that's what's up. And we're happy to have her with us until 5. If you have a question or comment, want to be in the discussion, it's 615-329-8810. Now, we just begin before the break, Leader Camper talking about the governor's education plan, etc. Differences between what you all were have been working on for years versus what he's proposing and wants to see pass.
Yes, ma'am.
And become law.
Yes, ma'am. We were looking at the current formula as it is and looking at fully funding it and adding some more elements. Making sure that teacher pay is not tied to the formula. that it's a separate thing. Teachers will get paid. This is the funding for teachers, because what happens now in the formula, the money goes to the local education agency, and we may say here's a 4% raise to teachers, but once they get it, they still have the ability to spread that across. So they don't really get the full 4%. So we wanted to just carve that out. So this is how teacher pay will be dealt with, separate and apart from how we're going to actually fund education. We also wanted to fund nurses. We know we need nurses in the school. We know we need mental health in the school. So, and make that a separate thing that's not tied to any level of funding, or if it is, increase the funding for that to make sure that we have a good student-to-nurse ratio, a good student-to-counsel ratio. So we want to change some things within the formula that better help families, really, you know, because the children are well, the mothers and dads are well, the family is well, we can, you know, move forward. The way the governor has looked at this is they have what's called a base amount, let's say $7,000, mm-hmm. and then they add on it some 10 different elements. So it may be English language learner, mm-hmm. you may get 5%. If you're living in poverty, it may be an additional 25%. Mm-hmm. If you're living in an area of extreme poverty, mm-hmm. you'll get another 5% or whatever the number, and that number could change. If you live in a rural area where it's very sparse, one and two people and families, there's another percentage. So you have a base amount, and then you build upon that based on the child, which sounds great when you look at it, and it is good. So you could have a child that have all of these special needs. You're going to get the funding you need for that child. Exactly. You know, and you may not need those same things. So your funding and the funding will follow and go to the school to educate those kids. But there are some other things probably baked in there around how the rules will go. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of other nuances of how to implement it and things like that that we're concerned about, and whether we put enough money in there up front. And this whole thing around increasing more charter schools mm-hmm. To come in and get some of this funding, even though charters are public, it still will have a huge impact on the traditional system.
It would.
And so we're just making sure that, you know, I appointed an ad hoc committee to really take a deep look at this, you know, mm-hmm. as it was proposed, and now the amendment that the governor, you know, I mean, you know, they've had hearings, they've gotten input from members through testimony, and they came back with a different amendment, and so now we're looking at that amendment to see how things are going to proceed. I think it's a heavy lift, though, for 1 year, right?
It's a very heavy lift.
We might need to not pass it this year,
yeah,
and look at it as we move
it's forward. A very, very heavy lift.
It's a heavy
lift. Is this a move to shut down public schools, just period? Because I know folks have really wanted to put more nails in the coffin on that for a long time.
Well, there are people that will believe that is true.
Okay.
Especially if you look at a traditional setting as a public school, and not considering that charters are quote unquote public schools, which they are. So people who say, no, we're not, we got charters are public schools. But if you expand the charter so much, the Hume Fogs of the world may not be able to sustain itself, because children are gonna be gone to these charter schools. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything against charters, but you can expand them so much that it would definitely have an impact on traditional public schools, and that's why people believe that there's this real attack on it now.
Okay. Well, you can't help but realize that there's something wrong. It just seems like this has been going on now for some years, mm-hmm. with the vouchers and mm-hmm. the various mm-hmm. changes and, mm-hmm. you know, not wanting to be supportive. It just seems like, you know, is this another reason or something else they've come up with or how to get rid of them?
To move the money. To
yes. I guess that's the baseline of the whole thing. Let's move the money, y'all. Let's move the money.
Or people would say, follow the money.
Yes, Lord. And you best be doing that, too. X, what you got?
Leah, I have a question for you. So who determines where those charter schools are placed? You know, because I hear what you're saying, but it just seems you know, like you use Hume Fog as an example. And so if you're in a well-to-do neighborhood and you're able to get a charter school over there, but in neighborhoods where kids need computers and other things and they have like a staff, you don't have one over there. I mean, am I making sense?
You are making sense. So there is an application process mm-hmm. where people can apply. Let's say you're in an area you just spoke of that may be an underprivileged area mm-hmm. and you see a need where some of the traditional schools have closed in that area.
Yes.
And you know, neighborhood schools is the thing, kids walking back to school.
Sure.
But now you don't have that traditional school there anymore. And mm-hmm. you may decide, you know, I want to start a charter here. And maybe I want it to be focused on health, science, technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your plan together, you do, you know, get your board together, you do all the requirements, and you submit it to the local LEA. So that local LEA, your school boards of the world, can vote it up or down. They can say, no, we're not doing that. Now, you can appeal to the state. And so the state could come in then and override or not or approve or stick with it. So it's a process
yes.
where somebody gets to decide. And usually it's the local education board. So here it would be Metro board public schools board, and the same in whatever district you're in. We got 147 LEAs, and now in Memphis, you all have heard about the Achievement School District, and mm-hmm. you all have maybe a couple of schools that's in mm-hmm. there, but Memphis have a lot of schools that are in this Achievement School District, and they're under the arms of the state because it's a state-run mm-hmm. system. So you would have to get approval from that body to be able to do it. So it just depends on, you know, where you're trying to build a school, who has the authority over the school to regulate and monitor the school. But you are absolutely right. They could be, you know, in some well-to-do places, which is the fear
of
some
gonna
people.
Well, they're going to be. There's going to be 50 of them. You know they're not going. Rural West Tennessee, rural East Tennessee, come on. Y'all about to get hooked up. I mean, you know, I mean, that's how it's all looking. If and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it just all very much looks like that. What's your thought on the, did you get a warning at the state capitol about Hillsdale? Was this something that was talked about from the beginning of the administration, that this great thing and, you know,
no man.
Okay,
it came out of nowhere. You know, we were all like,
"What? Yeah, where did this come?" I mean, you know, that would be the question to me. It's like, why them and where?
Well, I don't know where it came from.
Because the governor is clearly high on Hillsdale College.
Yes, but I do believe that there's been a move afoot nationally with this organization to, you know, build out these Christian charter schools, educational facilities, you know,
yeah.
across the country. And they probably saw Tennessee as ripe for it with all the things that this governor has been doing, particularly
Absolutely.
Around the voucher legislation.
Yeah.
And that got caught up in a lawsuit because of how it was and how it passed. And that lawsuit is still pending. And they probably saw Tennessee as ripe
it is.
For it and, you know, made the approach to the governor.
And he said, yeah, that's it.
He said, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, but no, we did not have any forewarning
okay.
or knowledge. I think it caught a lot of people off.
Yeah, I'm thinking because, you know, when everybody had like a question mark on their face, like, where did this come from? And the fact that this is a controversial, conservative-leaning school
mm-hmm, yes,
based system. And it's so clear as a bell. I don't need, you know, trifocals to see that everything that the governor proposes, if it's not conservative, right-wing, Christian-based, he's not going to propose it. And so what do you think? Is this a rubber stamp? Is he just going to rubber stamp it?
I don't know, because I think he is getting pushed back on both sides of the aisle. I know we're
on
pushing
both sides?
Back. I think we're pushing back pretty hard. There are some on his side that raise a question mark for them too. Now, how hard they'll push, that's a different story.
That's true.
You may pull them in a room and get them in line.
That's true.
But I think, you know, with this TISA legislation coupled with that, some people are trying to take another look to see what is really going on here. This is major. This is going to shift. This is going to be major.
Completely.
Major shift.
Yeah, completely.
And it's going to be in effect and help affecting our children for years.
And how they think and what they learn.
Yeah.
And
yes,
it's
ma'am.
Going to be a revised history and revised everything based on the conservative Christian whatever value system or whatever, and maybe you don't want your kid in that, maybe you don't believe in that,
right?
But they would still be almost indoctrinated in it because the school is drenched in it, owned and raised. I mean how would you be able to separate that?
You won't, because when you sign up to go there, that's what you're going to get.
Well,
and to parents, you know, parents may see it as an opportunity for their child. Get there and realize, what the world have I gotten into?
And it's too late.
They could pull their child out and go to another school. They can't always do that now.
We don't want to make a $900 million mistake or be whatever.
Right. I understand that. Yeah, you're right. And that's the point we're making.
Yeah.
It would take a lot. You know, once we go down this road, to turn around, pull it back, green, of course, and without affecting the lives of children and families.
Absolutely. And 50 schools across the state. So I'm like, you know, is this going to become conservative Christian settlements? You know, I mean, what are y'all doing? I'm just saying, you know, we'll give you your school, we'll give you your school board, we'll deliver you the Secretary of State's account, we'll give you your election paper. What is going on? I know y'all think, you know. Yeah, I know you pray a lot up there.
I do.
Girl, I know, child. I know. I said, oh, she know the Lord. Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, and had he not been this way, I wouldn't have even thought of it. You know, but every step you take, every move you make is the same, pointing at the same thing. It is so obvious that, you know, a different thought, frame of thought here is getting rare. It really is.
Yeah.
Y'all's work is tough.
It is. It's very tough. And it's tough in the sense that, you know, we Democrats don't have, you know, the numbers, if you will.
Right.
We fight hard, and there are a lot of things that we do stop where the citizens may not even know was an issue. So that's a blessing. But it's just, it gets challenging sometimes because you can't, you know, they got the numbers. It's going to come out. It's going to pass. It's going to go through. We can just fight, you know, and be on the record, make sure we get stuff on the record.
That's
make sure
right.
That we're standing strong. So that's challenging. But it doesn't stop us from keep fighting. It doesn't stop us from trying to have a voice, you know, for the people who want to be heard.
Absolutely.
To make sure that they, you know, their voices are out there.
Yeah, thank you for that. Just getting it on the record. Because some of the stuff you all would just be, if you read some of this stuff or paid attention to what was going on in these meetings, you would think this was 1863. I mean, you really would. And I'm like, man, this is deep. And some of the thoughts that are coming from the mouths of people who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s, you thought we were past that point, you know?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, when President Obama was elected, I've got to go back to when he was elected.
Mm-hmm.
And the place where we thought and believed we were at that point in history.
Right.
Here is this man has done everything America has said you can do and
right.
you can be and all of this. And he did it.
Yeah.
And the country was ripe for hope, and he brought it.
It did.
And we elected this man.
Mm-hmm.
And he did good. Came in at a very terrible time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the economy was going down.
Mm-hmm.
He changed it. Changed the direction.
Yeah.
So much that he ran again and was elected.
Yeah, he was.
and kept the train going.
Sure did.
But at the same time, he awoke some other people who was feeling what they was feeling.
They were.
Who was like, yeah, we said you could be the president, but you actually the president now. And some people just had a problem with that. Now, that's just the reality of the situation.
It truly is.
And immediately after that, they elect Donald Trump. Because that group of people was feeling what they were feeling. And they started getting, you know. And so what I was seeing at the time was that our country was at a place where it had to come face to face with itself.
Yeah.
Because we have a group of people who really was living in denial about who they are and who they say they are and who they believe they are and what, you know, their belief system was. And at some point, it had to come head to head. And that's where I feel we are. That this country who was founded on what it was founded on, who had this constitution that said you can do these things. Some people still really don't want you to have all them rights that's in that constitution. You see? And so we had to come to this place, I believe, to move this country forward. Now, it's tough. You know, it's going to take time. But just think about our ancestors.
Truly.
Who saw what they saw for us and knew that they would never be there to see it, but it was coming.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get there, and, you know, chaos brings about change.
Oh, it does.
And so you have these two dynamic personalities that rose up in this country.
Yeah.
And now the country is now dealing with what that is, you know, and moving us forward.
Mm-hmm.
Toward, as President Obama would say, a more perfect union.
Yes.
And it's work.
Well, and I will say that one of my biggest fears is that all the progress could easily be erased. And people in this country have a selective memory. They only remember stuff for so long, and then it's gone off into the sunset. And they forget things about how they felt during that election period and the things that they thought was going to change. But at the center of all of it, for all of America's history, is the fact that people simply will not acknowledge wrong was wrong. And that's the bottom line. They will not acknowledge slavery was wrong.
Right.
The mistreatment of human beings as cattle was wrong. We were wrong. And that's at the bottom line of this whole thing. And the control that comes along with that could actually impact generations.
Oh, yeah.
Representatives. So that's where my concern is. Because after that, the damage is done. And there's not enough legislative hours in a year or a session for you all to repair that damage. Yeah, I mean, seriously. So some of the things that he implements and some of the representatives on the other side of the aisle that implement things that are based on hate and racism, they're wrong for that, because the citizens of this state deserve better.
That's right.
And we have, as the voters and the parents and grandparents and the people that make these communities great, we deserve much, much better than that. And I just thank you for your time and hope that this is not going to be your last trip over here.
No, ma'am, it will not. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. This was awesome. Awesome. And I'm so happy that I heard from Leader Camper. I just say, I love saying that.
It puts a smile on my face.
I know. I'm like,
I'm honored by it.
Yes. And, you know, that's leadership, y'all. And that's really, really, to me, what it's all about. Because, you know, you got to take a lot of stuff.
Yes,
and then you have to help people feel a certain way or think a certain way. That takes a lot.
It does.
Ooh, that takes a lot. Patience, kindness,
diplomacy.
Yeah, oh, especially that. Oh.
And sometimes political courage.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is something that's missing with a lot of people, that if they took the political courage necessary to make the change or to push something, it would happen, but they're not doing it.
That's right. Well, you said courage an hour ago, and that is lacking. And in so many areas, if they could just get that courage. Well, I'm glad you have it.
Okay.
And you got the blessing from the elders, from Representative D. Berry and Senator Harper. They put it in you now. Yes. I'm just saying. Yes. Ooh, now that was strength on Capitol Hill. And I hope that the Lord will bless you and give you the strength to do what you're doing up there.
Thank you.
Because it's a toughie, y'all. Every time I look out these windows here in the studio and look towards the Capitol, I'm like, Lord, come on and help those people because they got some work to do in that place. Because these laws impact all of us. Now, for people to know, Leader Camper, how to reach your office, or if they're concerned about a piece of legislation or something like that, how do you want them to try to communicate?
Yeah, they can call my office, 615-741-1898.
Okay.
Or they could email me, RepKarenCamper@gmail.com.
Excellent. You know, easy.
And all my social media is at Karen D. Camper.
Okay, excellent. So you all do it if you have a concern or whatever. She is leader, minority leader, Tennessee State Democratic, and Karen Camper out of Shelby County. And we're happy to have you here and hope that you'll be back again to give us some updated information about what's going on. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I'll do it.
Let's go to get our news break and come back on the other side with the author of the book, Gorillas Can Dance, Lessons from Microsoft and Other Corporations on Partnering with Startups. And Shamim Prashantham is going to be calling us from his home in China. So let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.